You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
And now, Move the Sticks. 10 takeaways from week 5 with Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, and Rhett Lewis.
What's up, everybody? Move the Sticks here. And guys, we've got our takeaways here, which we've already put in to the rundown. But we do have some breaking news here that I think we do need to talk about here at the top. Buck, I guess start with you here. Redskins fire Jay Gruden. No surprise, is there?
No, kind of long overdue. And I think here's what happens, DJ, in front offices and those things. Like, obviously, we always talk about when you make a decision, you make a team decision. Everyone works together. We're all kind of making a collaborative effort. And once a guy is picked, he becomes our guy. He doesn't become the front office's guy. He's not the coach's guy or whatever. And I think when you started to hear the leaks about Dwayne Haskins not necessarily being who the coaches preferred and those things kind of leaking out, and we have some other issues with Adrian Peterson. It just seemed like, look, maybe not through any fault of his own or maybe by being too honest with some of his media cohorts, Jay Gruden kind of wrote his own epitaph when it came to his dismissal as the Washington Redskins head coach. And I just think it speaks to the lack of chemistry and continuity that existed in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, quarterback was probably the icing on the cake, right? But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, he's a guy who comes in with an offensive specialty, and they have not been able to perform offensively. And, you know, we go back to, if you think back to Alex Smith coming over, we were looking at it in our aftermath meeting. They were 6-3 with Alex Smith as their starting quarterback. They've been 1-11 since. So, you know, obviously that injury, you know, was an unfortunate kind of piece of this whole equation, because then it forces you into the Haskins market. Maybe they were in it already, but still, it's, you know, it's just one of those things where they haven't gotten the quarterback right at all, you know, much less how they handled this one, DJ.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at the quarterback position, you can go back. I think Jay Gruden started there in 2014, and you can look. There's never been a period of time, except for that little stretch with Alex Smith, where the entire organization has been behind the same quarterback. Because remember, we had the RG3 Cousins thing.
Yep.
That was at the tail end of that whole issue when Jay Gruden took over. So you have that. Then there was, you know, never committing to Cousins, right? It's franchise tag, not doing a long-term deal. So obviously people in the front office didn't think he was the long-term solution. And who knows, maybe they were right in that, the way things are starting to play out here in Minnesota. But the point being, the guy on the field, not everybody was behind him. Then you get that little sliver there with Alex Smith, where they're all on the same page from the front office to the coaching staff, and they have success. And then on that unfortunate injury to him. And then since then, here we've got another shuffling of the quarterbacks. And some people are, you know, allegedly Haskins guys. Other people are Colt McCoy guys. It's just they can't get on the same page. So where they go from here, they need to identify, is Dwayne Haskins that guy? And if he is that guy, let's get behind him with the entire organization. And if not, Buck, this could be a situation just like the Arizona Cardinals where they could double dip. You look at the Arizona Cardinals, go Josh Rosen 1 year, come back with the first overall pick and go Kyler Murray. That to me is, while even if you think Dwayne Haskins is not ready or prepared to play in the NFL right now, before we get to the halfway mark, you have to at least get him up to speed so he can start the final 8 games of this season. Pare it down, whatever you got to do, but you have to get an evaluation of him because this team is dancing towards a top 5 pick.
Well, what if it's the people that make those decisions that just already believe that he's the answer? And I mean, at that point, does it matter?
Well, I mean, then you better hire somebody as a coach that's going to come in sight unseen and be all okay in on a guy that he hasn't seen play much in the NFL. That's the challenge of getting a coach.
Yeah, well, I think this was kind of mishandled from the start. I think when we go back and we look at how the young quarterbacks have played, DJ, every young quarterback that has been drafted at the top of the board has played immediately. Whether it's a game or two, they get in there. Daniel Jones jumped right in after 2 games. And so for the Dwayne Haskins – and this organization, look, if you take Dwayne Haskins where you take him, you have to kind of be all in. And everyone has to kind of pull the boat in that direction. So if Dwayne Haskins can't throw out routes, don't call out routes. Like, whatever you're committed to doing around the quarterback, it has to be a full organizational effort. And look, this seemed like it was a tug of war between Jay Gruden and the front office and the owner and who should play. And I think, unfortunately, look, Dwayne Haskins got thrown in the middle, and I also felt like Dwayne Haskins didn't do his part just from the outside looking in. I didn't feel like he prepared like some of those other guys prepared to be ready for his opportunity when his number was called, and so he was put out there set up to fail. But regardless, whoever takes over this job, short-term and long-term, I do believe that that is probably one of the first questions that they ask. How do you feel about Dwayne Haskins? How can you make him better? How can you build this team around him?
I want to know what type of coach, what profile of coach will thrive in that environment in Washington. What type of coach can make that work there with minimal input, right? Probably in front personnel decisions, and a quarterback kind of conundrum with a first round guy coming in from the year before.
You know who can make it there in that type of environment? You go get yourself a defensive coach is what you do.
And
you
have not done it in a long time.
And all this drama away from the quarterback and the offensive side. When you look at the roster that they have, there are some pieces on the defensive side of the ball. There are long ways to go on the offensive side of the ball. So let's be good in one spot.
Sure.
Let's go get a defensive head coach. Let's build up, you know, around the assets you have there, and let's play great defense. But, guys, you want to talk about you watch a fireworks show, Buck. You know, you have the grand finale.
Yep.
This was the way that it ended up for the Washington Redskins that made this decision so easy. I was talking to Red about this a little bit earlier, but you had 53 snaps offensively, right? You give up 6 sacks. You give up 10.5 tackles for loss. You fumble the ball 3 times. So I'm not a math guy, but that sure seems like on a lot of plays, you're either getting tackled for a loss, giving up a sack, or turning the ball over, not to mention the 1 interception. So
you're about 40%.
4 times you put the ball on the ground. I mean, it's darn near half your snaps. Something terrible is happening.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a grand finale of a way to go out.
It is a grand finale, and I felt like he let go of the rope at the end of it. So, DJ, it's funny that you talked about a defensive-minded head coach. So some of the names that are being thrown out for this job have included Mike Tomlin and Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles makes a lot of sense because Todd Bowles spent time in Washington, played for the Washington Redskins on one of their Super Bowl teams. He is well-respected and well-liked. And remember, Doug Williams, when he became a head coach in college at Morehouse, Todd Bowles was his defensive coordinator. So there may be a link and a tie to that.
Hey,
so
you know where that defensive models worked? Buffalo.
Yeah.
where they've
it has, and it does. Yeah. Like DJ is right, it does take some of the pressure and the focus off of the quarterback, and it becomes more on, all right, let's build this team to play complementary football. I believe, like, defensively, they have enough pieces to be competitive. They have enough guys that they've invested in the draft, enough resources where they should be a solid to above average defense. Good defense, find a way to run the football. You can at least make games close and competitive, and you'll win some of those.
Yeah, and figure out the Trent Williams deal. That can't just be continuing to hang out there, right?
I mean, that's you've got an asset. If he doesn't want to show up there, at some point in time, to sell off your asset, get yourself some picks. This is just stubbornness, and I mean, to me, that just makes no sense to me whatsoever on that whole thing. We got to get to the rest of these takeaways. We could do a whole hour show on the Washington Redskins and their dysfunction. But I'll start us off. I always give you a takeaway from the game I was at doing these Charger games, and that was the Denver Broncos getting their first win. And the big takeaway for me was just a dominant defensive performance by the Broncos.
Takes the snap, looking right. Middle of the end zone, intercepted. Intercepted in the end zone by Alexander Johnson. The one thing you couldn't have happen. I don't know if Rivers saw him.
Nah, he was saw him. He was locked in on Mike Williams, did not see the underneath defender in the middle of the field.
Yeah, in the middle of the field, down there in tight quarters, you can't be late with the ball. It's crowded in there. That was something you don't see from a veteran quarterback very often. Phillip Rivers, that was a big error in that ball game. Also, you look at the going for it fourth and one at the goal line before the first half. The Denver Broncos get a stop. So, you know, you can choose to look at it and say, man, the Chargers were sure inept on offense, but I give the Broncos credit. Those two big plays down there on the goal line, and then the rest of the day really gave up nothing. I mean, the Chargers did not have an offensive touchdown.
0-4 in the red zone.
First time. Nothing. So you got a punt return from Desmond King. So this defense for an 0-4 Broncos team, who, trust me, in studying them all week long, is much better than that record. Yeah. Could easily have been sitting there at 500. And that defense was dominant. And Buck, when you look at the other side of the ball, Philip Lindsay, they ran the heck out of it. So when your back's against the wall and you got to have it, it's amazing how some things, you can go back in time. Defense, run game, and there you go. You get your first win.
Yeah, that's always a recipe to be successful, and we knew that Vic Fangio would be able to get his team to finally buy into that, and so it worked out. I'm more troubled when I look at the Chargers, when I look at the stat sheet. 48 pass attempts for Phillip Rivers, to me, is too many. They have to balance it up. I understand that, look, this is a team that is driven by the quarterback, but I just think they cannot get out of whack when it comes to the run-pass relationship. They got to make sure that they're a little more balanced. You now have Melvin Gordon back. I'm not saying that Melvin Gordon is ready to be an all-star or a Pro Bowl player, but he has to get more touches. They got to lean a little more on their running game, take some of the pressure off Phillip Rivers despite his greatness and excellence as a player throughout his career.
How often do you say a team with 12 penalties for 122 yards wins the game?
I know it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
unbelievable.
That's
impressive.
A lot. Yeah, no question.
And they were costly penalties. I mean, if not for some of those penalties, the Chargers don't really move the ball. I mean, that one penalty, pass interference penalties, was a huge play in their drive. So they just were dominant up front. And look, when you've got Von Miller, you know who made a huge difference. Watching them without Kareem Jackson and watching that defense with Kareem Jackson, he had 8 tackles at half, and he was flat-footed reading and from the safety position. And these were not catch tackles at 6 yards beyond the line of scrimmage.
He's coming
tackled
down.
For loss. He was at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa, okay, that's a little different now. He's a big time dude. He was in that game coming from the safety position.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. So I have the next one.
All right, keep us going here, Buck.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
This is 3rd and 4. Cousins out of the shotgun. Back to pass. Pats it for Thielen into the end zone. Thielen, it's a 9-0 lead, Minnesota.
You know, DJ, Rhett, you guys may know, like, I'm a huge John Wooden fan. And John Wooden used to have a rule for his old UCLA teams. No whining, no crying, no excuses. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. I think the Minnesota Vikings have shown that, nope, you need to whine, you need to cry, you need to make excuses. And if you do those things, you can get what you want. Adam Thielen made a little bit of a deal about not getting enough opportunities after last week's game. And lo and behold, 7 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. He has a quarterback apologizing to him in the run-up to the game. And finally, this Minnesota passing game, which has a lot of resources and money tied into it, kind of looked the part. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that's what motivated and got Kirk Cousins going, but I do believe there was a concerted effort to diversify their offense a little bit. You saw Adam Thielen play like a Pro Bowler. You saw Kirk Cousins get back on track and play like the big money acquisition that they got. And then you saw more room for Dalvin Cook. This is how the Minnesota Vikings want to play. It just took a little urging.
Yeah, there's nothing to say that you can't have both, right? You can't have, you know, an effective run game with an explosive pass game, right?
You can have your cake and eat it.
When I watched the tape, you guys, I saw that offense that we anticipated seeing, which was Dalvin Cook on a lot of that outside zone, really cranking it up, getting Dalvin Cook involved in the screen game. And then all of a sudden, what do you know? The boot action this offense is known for, the stretch play action, those crossing routes, Adam Thielen's wide open. I mean, it was nicely done, and that's what we anticipated seeing. And I will also say this, Garrett Bradbury, who struggled a little bit, their rookie center, had a really good game against the Giants and was able to execute some of those reach blocks we saw him do at NC State and just overall held up better. So encouraging sign. This defense, there are no questions about this Vikings defense. We know what they can do. So this offense, and maybe it takes a little while, it's going to be an up and down situation with them. But if they can just get into the tournament, and this is an offense, in my opinion, while it might not be consistent week to week, guys, this thing could get cranked up for 3 or 4 weeks in the postseason, and they have the capability of winning the whole thing because their defense is that good.
No, now, we're keeping in mind here, the Giants' defense is not going to set any records this year, unless it's on the wrong side.
Yeah, I'm not talking
side.
About them. Yeah. I'm just saying when you look at the defense and the personnel that they have, and we talk about in the postseason for offense, Steady Eddie's great for a 16-game season. When you get in the postseason, it's about your ceiling. How high of a level can you play? That's Joe Flacco rule, right? Joe Flacco over 16 games, but he can get hot for 3 or 4 weeks, and he can win the whole dang thing. When I look at this Minnesota offense, they have the pieces and the upside to play at a high level. I don't anticipate they're going to do it week in and week out, but I'm telling you, it's a scary team if they get into the postseason. That's all I'm saying.
No question. And just have to get these type of performances against teams that are also playoff caliber, which we've yet to see since Kirk Cousins has joined the Vikings. That'll be a big piece of it. All right, I'll get us to our next takeaway here, guys. It was an absolutely Texas-sized offensive performance by the Texans in Houston.
Deshaun gets the snap, looking left. Watson dancing, and Watson throwing downfield, and he's got Fuller across the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll! Touchdown to Will Fuller, and that seals the deal.
Man, I wish I could have heard Mark Vandermeer for the entire game because
he had to have
some deep ball calls loaded up going into this one because, I mean, they absolutely destroyed a devastatingly bad Atlanta defense, and it's getting worse. And I feel like, the last 3 weeks now you're like, okay, have they hit rock bottom yet? But look, I'll get to that. That's a whole different story. They're led by Will Fuller's 217 receiving yards. Look, a guy I was telling you all week on NFL Fantasy Live, start Will Fuller.
Nice.
And he took advantage. So they're 10 for 13 on third down. That certainly helps. The fact that Deshaun Watson was only pressured twice on his 33 dropbacks. Now, we know that this team can give up some pressure, even though they've been better this year in that regard. I mean, the fact that Atlanta couldn't get to them and then couldn't, if they're devoting all those resources, as you're going to see on the aftermath later today, to stopping, to coverage, you got to be able to defend two or three guys out there running routes. And it just, look, and I'm not trying to make it a hot take, but because it's not. The fact that Deshaun Watson this year and then in the future, I'm not sure there's a quarterback. I mean,
Mahomes, hot take.
Not a quarterback I'd take other than Deshaun Watson right now.
Hey, look, man, when I was watching the game and I'm just thinking, I mean, it kind of reminded me of being – I mean, I'm a little old to be in the club, but like it reminded me of just hearing that song, shot, 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 shot. Everybody, it was shots left and right. Like Deshaun Watson is just taking, he's just taking shots down the field. And you're right. We've talked about it, DJ, the last 2 years. Will Fuller is the biggest X factor on this offense. His presence on the outside allows them to stretch the field vertically, creates openings and opportunities for everyone horizontally. He is a key factor. And if the Texans are able to play like this, where they really push the ball down the field and Deshaun Watson is taking advantage of those seams and those holes, man, it is something to watch. I mean, this is the offense that I would pay to see, but I just don't know if Bill O'Brien can do this each and every week, which is why it does feel like Deshaun Watson could be in that conversation for Pat Mahomes. Yeah. I just don't know if he has the support
I'll tell you
coaching
what,
wise, to allow him to
Yeah, and the way that Carlos Hyde's been running the ball, too, has been encouraging this year, and that they've been committed to it, even in a game where they were succeeding in the pass game so much. We still saw there was room on the ground for Carlos Hyde. And I think we know that this defense in Houston has a capability of being a really good one in the AFC. This is an absolute playoff contender, Super Bowl contender in Houston.
Ooh, man, Red, hot taking today. Look, Red. Man.
I worry a little bit still about the Houston Texans secondary. That would That's be true. The only thing that's kind of keeping me from such a bold prediction.
Just but wait till Lonnie Johnson gets rolling, all right?
Mm. There you go. Big Lonnie. Buck, Rhett mentioned it there for a second when I watched this. They have a touchdown. Think about this. They've got an 8-man protection, okay? So they're going to take a shot, right? You try and, call plays. You call plays is what you do now on high school level. Yeah. So when you're trying to anticipate what you're going to get, if you're going to take a shot and you're going to go max protection, you're hoping you're going to get pressure, right?
Yes.
You're going to get pressure.
Yes.
We're going to be one-on-one.
One-on-one.
We got
take
max
a shot.
Protection. Yep. Let that develop. We're going to take a shot. Now, think about this. You dial it up. Max protection. You've got 8 men in protection. And then you see them rush 3. They drop 8.
Yikes,
and you've
right?
got to be sitting there on the sideline.
Ooh, that's not a good
deal. Wrong on this one.
Right.
Guess wrong. Take the check down. Throw the check down.
You've got no shot, except it's a long touchdown. I mean, I've never seen 8 men drop and spread out all over the entire field and get carved up with 2 dudes out there running around, which is exactly what happened in this game. It was awful. It was a combination of communication. It was a combination of just lack of athleticism, and then it was also, I would say, the effort didn't look great there from the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, that's as bad as you can get defensively, and they got carved
How
up
is
like
this
a
possible?
By Deshaun Watson.
How is so, that possible?
So now we have to take a look at that. Like, so there's been some conversation about Dan Quinn possibly being on the hot seat. Whenever you're the head coach and you decide to take over one side of the ball, you decide to become the play caller.
Yeah, you're accountable now.
It pushes you under a lot of scrutiny. And I'm going to say this personally. I believe the previous guy, Marquand Manuel, did a solid job for them as a defensive coordinator. But now that Dan Quinn is taking it over, this defense looks nothing like it used to. And I know there's been – and you see it each week when you watch the Chargers. There has been a bit of a catching up to the old Seattle Seahawks cover 3 single high safety defense.
Yep.
So you do have to keep evolving. What I'm seeing from Atlanta is troubling because – the premise of the defense was to not allow the big play, and we're seeing the Falcons give up big play after big play after big play on a weekly basis.
Hey, no doubt. Choose to look at it either way, right? We can kind of kill the Falcons, or you can get fired up as Rhett is predicting this.
Come on, let's go.
They get really, really, really fired up.
Rhett's sister may or may not work for the
May
Texas.
Or may not.
Here.
Texans were my Super Bowl
not.
Prediction.
May or may not.
All right.
May or may not. All right, next one here. Let's keep it rolling here. We don't have to spend much time on this one. It's going to be pretty self-explanatory. The Philadelphia Eagles, they have a pass rush all of a sudden.
Luke Falk, crumpling pocket and down with Graham with his second sack today. Brandon Graham.
Well, look, nice batting practice game. You've got some struggles there with your pass rush. Get somebody out there throwing 65-mile-an-hour right down the plate, which is what happened with the Jets. And if you're a Jets fan and you're wondering who gave up these pressures, well, I wasted 5 minutes of my life this morning watching all these sacks, so I could tell you the answer.
Okay.
Charlie, so Winners gave up 1. Chuma Adoga in his first start, he gave up 2. Khalil at center gave up 1. Beecham at tackle gave up 2, although one of them, you had the back chip the guy right off of him, which I'm sure he really appreciated that. Wesco gave up 1. And then I would put 3 of them on the quarterback. So there you go. That's 5 minutes of my life I can't get back. But that's a
that.
Eagles pass rush that needed a little bit of juice, and they got it done.
Look, yeah. they did get it done. I think, and I saw your tweet about the New York Jets, because I think we do need to talk about the Jets. Sam Darnold shouldn't feel any pressure when he returns, because the New York Jets have shown them exactly
other than the guys that are pressuring him.
Yeah, like they've shown exactly who they are without him. He comes back, and if they look any
– terrible.
If they look different at all, it's a credit to him, because right now this is a team that doesn't have a lot of explosive players. They don't have, the kind of weaponry that you need to compete in the NFL. You have –
Lev Bell sat out for
this. Yes, you have Lev Bell. I mean, it's just – it's troubling. And Adam Gase, look, man, Joe D has to kind of hang tight for a little bit, but it'll be interesting to see the dynamics between these two, because – Adam Gase, in my estimation, is the king of average, and I've never seen him really elevate anybody. I'm waiting to see him elevate an offense, elevate a quarterback, help them be something that they cannot be without someone else's tutelage. We'll see how it goes.
Hey, boys, can I bring this to the spiritual realm for Joe Douglas for the offseason? He needs to have a Noah's Ark offseason. Oh, he's got to go find two tackles, two corners, two pass rushers. It's just two by two. Trot them onto the Ark. Need to trot them all onto the Ark there with the Jets. Needs two of everything.
Noah's Ark. Oh,
well,
my God.
The flood is already there, so it's time.
They are.
They are already
time to get
drowning.
In the boat.
Yeah. Time to get on this ass. All right. Bug, you want to take us to London?
John Gruden is pushing all the right buttons.
It's a power eye look from the two. Under center, here comes Jacobs. Jumps, dives over the top. Touchdown! Touchdown, Raiders!
Man, look who's laughing now. The Oakland Raiders are sitting at 3-2 after finally navigating their way through the AB drama. The Oakland Raiders are beginning to look like a respectable team. This is not the result that I expected when they were taking on the Chicago Bears. But John Gruden is really good when he understands how you're going to attack them. And the running game and the balance of offense. Josh Jacobs is exactly what he wants. He's a physical running back that can catch the ball out the backfield. He gave it to him 26 times, 123 yards, two touchdowns. He is now the bell cow of the offense. They can hitch their wagon to him, and then they're running a complimentary passing game with Derek Carr off of that. Look, man, it doesn't always look pretty, but the Raiders are kind of moving towards being a very respectable team in the John Gruden era.
Do you think he enjoyed that one?
Oh, I think he loved it.
Do you think John Gruden loved that one?
I mean,
he said he's 56 years old. He said he's 56 years old, and I never had more fun in my life than today.
Ooh. That sounded like it may have been personal.
Yeah.
For
no, he had.
Won the Mac trade, right?
Here's what I want to say about that trade, because obviously everybody's going to say you don't trade Khalil Mack, and that was a mistake. I think all three of us would agree that was a mistake. Now, but the one area that people don't look at is they go, okay, Mac, and they compare Mac with the picks. But now I think there was a creative way, if they had the cash, there's a creative way where they could have fit all this under one tent. But you can't argue the fact that by not paying Mac with that money, they wouldn't pay Trent Brown, who has played not in the discussion as the best. No. He is the best right tackle in the NFL right now, the way he is playing. And I don't know that's necessarily close. He is dominating in the run game. He's reliable in pass protection. He's a difference maker up front. So I just think that gets kind of lost in the equation of the balance sheet of, well, Mac and the picks. Well, it was also the money. The money you didn't pay Mac, they used that money to pay Trent Brown. Now, I think there's probably a creative way where you could have figured out a way to get both.
Yep.
But that was a bonus for them to be able to use that money there. And I think right now with this offensive line, Richie Incognito, do I want him to want to hang out with Richie Incognito? Want him to watch my kids or babysit? No. That's another story altogether. He was dominant in this game as a run blocker working against the Bears. They're going to get Gabe Jackson back. Rodney Hudson's a top five center in the NFL. Colt Miller's playing better at left tackle. Guys, I think this is going to be one of the best five offensive lines in the NFL, and that is a good place to build a foundation for your football team.
It's a great place. Yeah. It's a great foundation. And if you know anything about John Gruden, what he wants to do is play old school football. He wants to take it back to the 1980s. You talked about Trent Brown being able to dominate, Gabe Jackson returning. They're being able to run the football and impose their will on opponents. Make no mistake, this is a team that wants to kind of bring everyone in the phone booth and beat them up so they then can set up big play opportunities for Derek Carr. Right now, the plan is right on schedule for what John Gruden wants. I didn't know that Josh Jacobs would be able to handle all of the responsibility of being the bell cow, but he certainly handled it in outstanding fashion.
And they did this without two of their better players on defense. Cleveland Farrell was out of this game, and then Abrams hadn't played since week one when he got hurt, or week two. So,
well, obviously, Vontaze Burfict was their best defensive player.
Yeah, exactly right.
That whole situation. Tyrell Williams, their best receiver, didn't play. We mentioned Gabe Jackson didn't play.
Impressive.
Like they had a full squad there over in London.
And I think they benefited from spending the whole week there, which is something to think about moving forward for these
another
London
story,
games, no question. Okay, I think, am I up next here?
Yes.
Get into this? Yeah, let's do
it. Yeah, go.
Guys, I think I found the coach of the year, Sean Payton.
3-by-2 to the near side. Bridgewater takes a gun snap, quick throw, caught Mike Thomas at the 5, breaks one tackle, walks into the end zone! Mike Thomas, touchdown!
So this has been pretty impressive what Sean Payton has done. And I'll be the first to say that I was very skeptical about Teddy Bridgewater's ability for success in this offense based on what we'd seen from him in the preseason and going back to the start he had at the end of last season. The accuracy was not great, especially when you get more than 5-10 yards down the field. And we didn't see that at all in his first two starts. His air yards per attempt in the first two starts were dead last among all qualified quarterbacks. But maybe that's just a part of the game plan here for Sean Payton, who is a game plan whiz. He's a play calling whiz and has showed us that, especially in these last 3 weeks where, yeah, they utilized, you know, Teddy Bridgewater's strengths in the first two games, allowed him to become a little bit more comfortable. And then we see in Teddy's third start at home here against the Bucs, the Saints.
Boom! They dropped
we
a bomb.
We saw the Saints offense. And so I'll tell you, Bridgewater becomes just the second Saints quarterback since the merger to throw for 300 plus yards and 4+ TDs in a single game. The only other quarterback to do that is Drew Brees, and he's done it 29 times. That's what I mean by this looking like the Saints offense that we are used to seeing. Michael Thomas in that 12 to 16 yard range. And look, it certainly helps, DJ, that Mike Thomas is an absolute stud. And I mean, as physical a wideout as we see in this game right now. But that, to me, shows you just how valuable Sean Payton is to your franchise, that he can put everyone in a position to succeed and accentuate their strengths that way.
Yeah, I think that's what great coaches do. Great coaches adapt to the personnel that's available to them. Great offensive coaches in particular do a great job of kind of getting on the same page with the quarterback, making sure that he is comfortable and ready to go. And what we saw third start, Teddy Bridgewater started to play like the Teddy Bridgewater that we used to watch in Louisville. Had a plenty of opportunities.
And back in 2015, his last full season was the starter.
Let him get it out. They built it around Michael Thomas. They gave him plenty of touches. And so this is one where if you're a New Orleans Saints fan, you should be encouraged, not only because you know Drew Brees is coming back, but because the backup quarterback you have can play like a starter in a pinch if you need him.
I want to ask Bucky this because your track background, Buck. You know, when watching this Saints offense for a couple weeks, it felt like when you watch a sprinter who's kind of in the preliminary rounds of at a track meet, and it's like, okay, I just got to keep moving on to the next round. So I'm just kind of easing around, you know, get that nice little lead, and then just kind of ease.
It's like Michael Phelps in the Olympics.
I don't need to spend it all. Just move on to the next round. Just get me into the next round. And then it felt like this last week was like, okay, now it's time
to
go.
It was the finals.
And then Teddy Bridgewater kind of opened it up. And it was – you know, I do believe in the whole getting in the zone thing. I think you see it in basketball all the time. You see what, you know, look, Curry's notorious for that. Gets in a rhythm in a zone, and it's like it's lights out. I think you get in a zone not only as a quarterback. I think you get in the zone as a play caller. And I think Sean Payton really started to get a feel for this team. Buck, they were playing, you watch the tape, a lot of cover two, and then like quarter, half, and they were just wearing out that cover two side. The big home run ball down the seam to Bridgewater, where they've got the trailer ends up running the seam,
and
you've
got
the corner route. So the safety's in it. Yeah, because the safety's in a complete bind. The middle linebacker, it's Tampa 2. He doesn't get enough depth. He's not going to get enough depth to get back there with Ted Ginn. So that's one home run. And then it was like smash. They're just running smash. Like it was just like taking candy from a baby out there the way they were attacking that cover two side.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just remarkable the way that they were able to put it together. This is a very, very impressive overall performance. It's one, if I'm Sean Payton, man, I'm very pleased with the way the offense is doing.
Yeah, put that one on the resume tape. All right, DJ, you're up next.
Let me keep it going here. Yeah, Packers ground game wins the day in Dallas.
Aaron Rodgers ducks in under center. Jones, the lone setback, he scored three times today. And here's the handoff. Jones spinning his way right side, reaches goal line.
Yeah, they got after him, and it was interesting watching all the runs there for Aaron Jones. Man, there were so many times where the unblocked defender was Leighton Vander Esch, who's one of the best young linebackers in the NFL, one of the best linebackers, period, in the NFL. He had a bad day. Aaron Jones was able to make him miss. They were able to move him with some of their motions and misdirection things, got him a little bit out of position. But he was oftentimes the unblocked defender, and even in the pass game, they were able to get him out in space a little bit, and Aaron Jones made him miss. But this was the kind of the reverse of what we saw with the Packers, where the previous week we saw the Philadelphia Eagles kind of just jam it down their throats, and here they go on the road. They pack their run game as well.
You look, run game always travels. Offensive line play, run game travels, quarterback travels. And if you have a defense like the Packers are showing, you have an opportunity. And I think the big thing that happened for me early in the game, the Green Bay Packers offense got in rhythm. So they were able to jump out ahead of people and make them kind of abandon some of their balanced approach tactics when they were trying to chase points. And so if the Green Bay Packers can kind of bottle this recipe up and put it in a formula and keep it on the shelf and remember, balance enough. Aaron Rodgers has to touch it enough on the ground to just balance out the offense. They can go very, very far this season.
I mean, we're going to talk about it in the aftermath. I mean, this might be the best team that Aaron Rodgers has had, whether it's run game combined with defense, and for them to, you know, get that opportunity, you know, for Aaron this year to have that, I'm excited, you know, to see where it takes them. Because we know that if you decide eventually you have to put it on his shoulders, you know, you still got that in your back pocket.
Yeah, you certainly still have it in your back
pocket. Nice to have different ways to win games, man. Not just having one formula. I have a different formula. I think they have some different formulas this year with this team.
Yeah.
One team that is certainly one team that's discovered a formula are my Buffalo Bills. Don't sleep on the Bills.
Third and three from the Tennessee 7. Gore in the backfield with Josh Allen. The snap. And Allen fakes the handoff, fires into the end zone. Touchdown, Duke Williams. Touchdown, Buffalo. Duke Williams, a 7-yard touchdown catch. His first NFL touchdown, and it could not have come at a better time.
Look, man, Bills Mafia is standing up. They're excited. They're sitting at 4-1. And, look, I want to tip my hat, Sean McDermott, what he's been able to do with this team. Like, he has really got them to buy into the fact of we are a complementary football team, meaning our offense must complement our defense, which complements our special teams for us to get a win. And it is working. They're taking care of the football. They're doing a great job on defense. I mean, you're talking about a team that is really suffocating the life out of these aerial attacks. And then on special teams, they are flipping the field and getting enough field position to set up Josh Allen for scoring opportunities. Look, their margin for error is thin, but when they play the right, they play the right way, they win a lot of games. The Buffalo Bills are right on track.
By the way, and I'm going to double check this here in a second, but I believe the only points the Titans scored in this game were off a Josh Allen interception. So, I mean, if you really start eliminating those turnovers, that defense has your back, right? I mean, outside of an extra possession,
I mean, they've done everything that you could ask the defense to do. They've created takeaways. They haven't given up the big play.
Yeah.
They've been able to do it without putting themselves at risk by blitzing. They are a team that is rock solid in coverage, and they just find a way to get guys home. You got to give them credit.
Think about this, Buck. How many times can you say this? I know Tom Brady can say it this year, but how many times as a quarterback you got to feel good when you can look down? All you got to do is look down at the number on your jersey.
Yep.
And know if I can match that number, we're going to win.
Yeah,
they haven't lost a game where they've scored 17 points this year.
Right.
I mean, that's the
17
magic
points.
Number.
That's the number. That's it.
Confirmed.
They've
by the
given
way.
Up the yeah. most points they've given up is 17. That's it. Yeah. They haven't given up more than 17 points in any game this season. So that's a nice luxury to have for, as an offense and as a quarterback, no doubt.
Yeah, and so that was confirmed. The only touchdown the Titans scored was off a Josh Allen interception, where the Titans then got the ball on the Buffalo 38. Right. So, I mean, like that's impressive. They also miss four field goals.
Yeah, they've overcome a lot of turnovers.
So there's the Titans miss four field goals.
There's also that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. Different problem.
All right, let's get to the big Sunday night.
Oh yeah.
I won't sing it, although Buck, if you want to, feel free.
Oh yeah.
Let's
get physical. Right, physical. I mean, man, like that's physical. Old school. I need to put on my leg warmers. I need to put my leg warmers and take it back since we're taking everything back.
Put your big boy pants on for
the 70s and 80s. Why not?
Roll it, Nabil.
Mahomes under center. Hands off to Damian. Oh, he's stacked up. I don't think he got it. No, sir. Justin Houston. A homecoming of sorts again for the big fella. 99 for the Colts. Knights in there. Gets a tackle for a loss on fourth down. And the Colts take over in plus territory inside the Chief 35-yard line.
Yeah, look, I think so much attention is going to go on the Colts run game and the way their offensive line kind of dominated with all those first rounders, and that's kind of that was the big storyline, 180 rushing yards. But to me, when you look at the other side, it was even more impressive. The Chiefs only rushed for 36 yards. That's one thing. But Pat Mahomes, I thought they did a nice job. After that early drive, I thought they did a nice job of containing this pass game. They were able to batter him a little bit. Obviously, that offensive line is not healthy. But, Buck, I was talking to Red about this a little earlier. I thought it was interesting, the game plan, when you look at coverage. I went back and charted it.
Yeah.
So if you look at the first quarter, these are all dropbacks, right? So the Colts were in man on 9 plays. They were in zone on 8 plays. So 50-50, right? 50-50 mix. In the second quarter, the Colts played man on 15 of the 18 pass dropbacks. So almost exclusively in man. Then you go to the third quarter. Okay, you go to halftime. We see a lot of man there in the second quarter. Coming to halftime, they only had to defend five dropbacks in the third quarter because their offense held the ball, but it was three times they were in man coverage, two times they were in zone. So again, kind of that 50-50 mix. Get to the fourth quarter, nine times in man, one rep in zone. So in the first and third quarters, 12 to 10 man zone. In the second and fourth quarters, 24 to 4. So it was like really kind of playing two different defenses. Just every quarter, you just kind of alternate what you're doing. And I thought it was really a brilliant job. And when they were in man, it was pretty suffocating.
Look, here's the thing, and here's what Matt Eberflus believes in, and is what a lot of Tampa 2 proponents believe in. They want to play man-to-man or cover three on early downs to stop the run. So then they can back you up and play Tampa 2, play zone coverage. The issue with playing zone against the Kansas City Chiefs, they are so explosive. They have so many players that just run through your zones. Your athletes aren't good enough to kind of match them in space.
Yep.
When you
that
face
was
a,
their touchdown was in yep. zone.
When you face a Kansas City Chiefs team that doesn't have Tyreek Hill and then Sammy Watkins goes out, you now have all the confidence that you can match up and lock them up. Because by playing man, what you do is you take away the layups. You take away the RPOs. You take away the gimme throws that are available in the offense. And so hats off to the Colts for doing that. But this is not a game plan that they were the only ones to use. The New England Patriots yep. used it. The Detroit Lions used it. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to continue to see heavy man-to-man until they run people out of that man coverage.
And I think you guys hit the nail on the head here. I mean, obviously, a punishing run game by the Colts. I mean, that was soul-crushing at the end of the game just to watch them push the pile for 3 yards. I mean, it was like you just knew they were going to get a first down every time when they had that opportunity. So the things that I'll say, the terrific game plan, and they did it without – they executed the game plan the Colts did without their best defensive players. Darius Leonard has still been out. Malik Hooker, yeah. Clayton Gathers, both out. And then they lose Kamoko Ture, who's been having a pretty good season.
Yeah, that was nasty.
Yeah, broken ankle. He's done for the year. That's unfortunate because it's been a nice year for him. So, look, I thought that was really impressive. And then how much does a mobile, fully healthy Patrick Mahomes make a difference in the second half?
I mean, he makes a little bit of a difference because of the second reaction plays, but man, his guys are having a tough time getting open.
And Byron Pringle?
Yeah, and now,
I didn't have him on my fantasy.
Now that they put that out there, they put it on tape. when you put it out on tape, you'll see more teams that copy it. The issue that you really have is kind of fool's goal. Because if you play this much man-to-man against Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, at some point they're going to get you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can lock up and play them in man-to-man the entire game.
Right.
I think you have to pick and choose your spots when you're going to play some man.
Quincy Wilson did a nice job on Travis Kelce. Yeah.
He did.
No, they did a good job. And it was a lot of man-free. But to me, like if you want to run the best defense you can run to slow down any passing attack really is two man, right? So you're gonna end up playing man, but you still have two high guys over the top. That's what if you think back to those 49er defenses that were so good that went to the Super Bowl under Harbaugh, that with Justin Smith and that crew up front, they could dominate and stop the run without any safety help. So they could park those two safeties in the parking lot. You could play man, and that's difficult.
That's it.
And I just think if I'm playing the Chiefs, I'm gonna dare Andy Reid. I'm gonna say, hey, you want to run the ball, you can run it, but we're going to willing to bet that you don't want to do that. So it'll be interesting to see how teams defend them once all those big dogs come back, because you're right, just playing man free with Tyreek Hill running around out there with Sammy Watkins running around out there, you got a little more to worry about.
So I'm gonna take this last one.
Yep.
Here we go. We can go down to Carolina, which was
it was
a great day. Ring of Honor, Hall of Honor. Our own Steve Smith was inducted into the Panthers Hall of Honor. But look, he had a chance to see that Christian McCaffrey is special.
First and 10, Panthers backed up deep, handoff up the middle, McCaffrey running free, unbelievable, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 across midfield, can someone drag him down, 20 to the 15, the 10, the 5, McCaffrey takes it home!
He was untouched on that play, Buck.
Untouched. Great play design.
84.
Everything, like, look, man, I've been kind of resisting the urge to say this, but is Christian McCaffrey the best running back in football right now?
He's the MVP.
I mean, like, the way that he is doing
it. Right now, it's not a debate the way he's playing.
I mean, the way that he is actually dominating the league. I mean, everyone knows when you walk into the building, Carolina's playing with their backup quarterback. Christian McCaffrey is going to touch the ball 25 times, and they cannot stop him. 19 carries, 176 yards, two touchdowns, six receptions, 61 yards, one receiving touchdown. The guy leads the NFL in rushing yards and scrimmage yards. You know what this is? This is Christian McCaffrey at Stanford. Everybody knows that he's getting it.
Junior year.
Can't stop him. Yeah. I mean, like, this is him when he should have won the Heisman Trophy that year. Like, he is
3,000.
Yeah, I mean, he is dominating the game. And look, I thought he was going to be – he is outstanding.
They kept calling the same play. Now, I know we say that a lot when we're watching. Like, oh, that looks like the same play. No, Greg Olsen said it was this – he had never heard the same play called so many times in one game.
Repeat.
What happened to the Jags' defense? You can't stop one play? You can't make an adjustment and figure that out?
There were times where they had linebackers free in the hole. And
yeah, he just didn't make
no
a tackle.
Shot.
Sure,
and
I get that.
It was the same thing.
That's man on man.
His lateral quickness and agility is ridiculous. So
I mean, like,
and then you watch him in the slot. You watch him split out wide. I'm like, yeah, good luck.
I mean, he's a special player. We knew he was a special player, but I'm going to say he looks like he's even a more explosive version of the player that we saw in college as a sophomore kind of dominate the game. His ability to make plays as a runner, as a receiver, he is all over the place. I think what's interesting about this, because people have tried to make it about the Kyle Allen thing, I think the interesting thing will be when Cam Newton comes back, can Norv Turner make this offense go with Christian McCaffrey being the lead horse and Cam Newton being the complimentary piece?
Yeah, if they go back to Cam.
I think they will go back.
I think
they will go back with him. But I just think it's interesting because, look, you talk about a dynamic weapon, and I know Cam Newton, maybe he can't do the things that he used to be able to do when he was running. But, look, man, if I feel like Cam is on a short run anyway, man, I'm going to run the heck out of him, and I'm going to go the whole thing with him and Christian McCaffrey, and I'm going to terrorize defenses with the fact that I have a two-headed monster in the backfield where either one of those guys can run.
If I told you guys before the season started that the player that's going to be fifth in the league in receiving yards after five games was going to be a former LSU wide receiver who's playing with a spunky, energetic quarterback.
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you would not have guessed it to be DJ Chark.
How about that?
He has been outstanding, man. And that is, again, this comes back. I want to just go through this list here real quick of the top six. This is in receiving yards right now. And I'm going to hit it at the end with what I think. We've talked about this trait being underrated for quarterbacks. I'm beginning to think it's very underrated for receivers. Michael Thomas, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, DJ Chark, Keenan Allen. All of those guys are tough, physical wide receivers. And that, to me, says something there. And not just, I mean, they're good route runners, got strong hands. These guys are physical and tough. And the next two beneath them, Tyler Boyd and Cortland Sutton, are other guys who play a physical brand of football, man. So I don't know. I think there's a little something to that. DJ Chark is explosive. I get that, too. But he's tough and physical as well, man. He was a great special teams player at LSU.
All those guys get open.
Yeah, no, there's something to it. Like, look, it's a tough man's game, and you have to have toughness. DJ, you know, you spend time in two organizations. You talk about the Baltimore Ravens and how they pride themselves and kind of being the bullies on the block. You have to have tough guys because when you bring in receivers who are tough to go along with your running backs and kind of like if you're a team that is committed to running the ball, you got to have those kind of players. And so I think there is something to that. There is a requisite toughness that you have to have at a position, but the guys that we're seeing that are big, physical, that don't mind doing the dirty work over the middle, those are the guys that kind of lead the league in terms of catches and yards and all the other stuff that you want to see in the passing game.
Good one, boys.
No doubt. All right, but guys, football's back. Watch live local primetime NFL games for free all season long with the Yahoo Sports app or the official app of the NFL on your phone or tablet. Plus, get all your latest breaking news, highlights, and more. Download the NFL app or the Yahoo Sports app in your app store or at NFL.com/mobile today. Certain restrictions and data rates may apply. Man, that was a jam-packed episode. I feel like we did like 20 takeaways, not 10.
No, today. It certainly felt well. The Redskins situation certainly makes made it feel that way, and we'll continue to dive into that on the aftermath at 3 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah, be sure to check that out. Rich, appreciate you guys listening to us today. Fun episode. We'll be back. A couple more episodes coming your way later this week. Do appreciate you guys leaving us those ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. Drop a question in there, and we will answer it on Thursday's show. Appreciate it. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, and Rhett Lewis. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Zira Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zira Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zira Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zira Foxtrot today at ZiraFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.